I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Live podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another month, therefore it's another live show. These are one of the little highlights of my month, and it's when the Patreons will get together and sit and discuss a topic that we kind of sort of pick between us. And a few months back, we decided that we was going to basically work our way through the alphabet, which is something that I like to do. If we're ever kind of just sort of sitting around a table at a party and kind of conversations, maybe not as good as pulling around, and everyone has to pick a track and you work your way through the alphabet, it's great. So we're kind of doing a bit of that, but each month we're going to pick a letter. So if you missed last month's, needless to say, we started with A, and we're going to be discussing B this evening. I think you get the format. It's pretty straightforward. This is the first one of the new year, and we're literally just back after the new year. So this isn't a packed house tonight. We've got quite a smaller amount of people tonight. So any of you Patreons that are listening that couldn't make it, you snooze, you lose, because I've got a feeling this is going to be the best one, because we've really got the cream here tonight. So all of you that are otherwise occupied, you've missed that. Right, we're discussing the letter B. I've had a little think about mine. I'm coming in on double points because all of mine's got two B's, and I'm sure there's going to be lots of people looking around here. I know for a fact that two of you that I'm looking at, I know well enough to know that I'm sure there's going to be a double B in your pick. But let's find out. Let's find out. And I'll start with, so I'm going to go Big Steve. I've got Big Steve, Little Steve. Not that Big Steve's particularly big or Little Steve's particularly little, but Big Steve's bigger than Little Steve. And so it makes it easier to go with that. We've got Brett and we've got Si with us tonight. So, Big Steve, we'll start with you. Give us a B, mate.
I'm going to go with Bong Ripper.
Ball Ripper.
Bong Ripper.
Right. Okay.
Bong. Not Ball Ripper. It's not that sort of party, mate.
Okay. I mean, tell me what party we're going to, Steve.
Oh, this is a proper, this is like an instrumental kind of stoner doom band. And particular highlights for me, they've got a couple of albums. One's called Satan Worshipping Doom. There's like four tracks on this double album. And each side, the first side's Hail, the second side's Satan, the third side's Worship, and the fourth side's Doom. And so it's all like four tracks spread over a double gatefold vinyl. And the second album I want to bring up is one called Hippie Killer, where they've got an amazing song called Reefer Sutherland.
Reefer Sutherland.
You can tell what sort of vibe they're going for.
Oh, I'm loving that. Are they on Spotify, Steve?
Yes, mate, yeah.
Fantastic. Right. Well, I'll leave you to pick a track that we'll put on the little mixtape.
It's got to be Reefer Sutherland, mate. It's amazing.
100%. 100%. Remind me what they're called again. Bong.
They're called Bong Ripper. All one word. Like taking a rip from a bong, basically.
Fantastic. Where are they from?
the states, like New Orleans or somewhere like that. No. But yeah, they're again, you know, purely subjectual. That if you like that sort of thing, they're kind of one of the best bands doing it. So they're amazing live as well, like ridiculously good live. So tight, just the way all their songs build and then build and then build, and then you get the explosion and it kind of dies off and then comes back in again. So good.
Fantastic. Right, we kick things off with Reefer Sutherland. Right, I'll move to you, Brett Carter, please.
I'm going to have to drop the double B. It's got to be Betty Boo.
No, that's not the double B I thought we was going to get.
I know exactly the double B that you're going to get, but I'm going to go for the other one. Yeah, when Doing the Do came out, everyone was like, hello. I mean, you've had her on the podcast before, and it's like every man of our age is just like, I love you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I don't know if the video's up on YouTube of that episode, but yeah, there's a very doe-eyed boy looking at her in that episode. That was all the dreams come true. You're not ever going to see my face like that unless I ever get Claire Grogan on. But yeah, it was wonderful. Alison, I believe is her name. And do you know what? What's interesting is with Betty Boo and obviously when Doing the Do dropped and Where Are You Baby, it became kind of, it was very pop, wasn't it? And she was a legit big pop star. But have you seen the clip of her in the is it McDonald's or a fast food restaurant?
I think it's a McDonald's.
She's a public enemy, isn't she? And you're good.
With Chuck there, it's definitely Griff, isn't it? And yep. And I can't think, and like, and it's when she was in the very early sort of formation of the She Rockers, and she's just rapping to, I think Griff's even beatboxing. It's fucking crazy. Yeah, love it. She was fantastic. And I think she went on to be quite the songwriter. I think she wrote for lots of other artists as well. I think she's, she's a bit of a ledge. But yeah, great shout, Betty Boo. Right, little Steve, what you got for us, mate?
Well, since there's only a few of us, I take it we'll have a few goes round, because I've got a few that I can mention.
Okay.
I'll start off, I think, with Berlin. And not the song that jumps to mind immediately, although that song is on the album Count Three and Pray. It's the last song on that, Pink and Velvet. It's got David Gilmour doing guitar solo on it. So it sort of builds all that, so it's like a sort of mini Pink Floyd song, which is pretty nice. Great job.
I know nothing about Berlin other than that.
Apart from Take My Breath Away.
Yeah, I remember that about 15 or so years ago, probably maybe longer than that, MTV or VH1 were putting all these bands back together, and I think they'd done Frankie, and one of them bands was Berlin, and I remember thinking, who wants to see Berlin get back together? Were they not just that band that had a one-hit wonder? But obviously stateside, they were, from what I gather...
They were quite big. I mean, and she was a smidge away from becoming Princess Leah, Terry Nunn. She was up for that. And
seriously?
She was close to getting it, seriously. And but the album, Count Three and Pray, it's rocky, sort of female-fronted... Transvision Rampy, that sort of style of rock sort of thing, like guitar riffy and whatnot, and I really like it. And it's not because it was, you know, around at my pal's house and he'd got it and you're just like, what the fuck is this that you're going to be putting on? But the first song you're just like, I really like this, and then when Take My Breath Away comes in, you're like, it's just cheesy, just overheard it, but it's alright in the album. But it's the last song, Pink and Velvet, that's the one I'll pick from that.
Oh, I will endeavour to check out more Berlin, and we'll stick that on the compilation. Simon Lovell, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm going to go for, I've got the double Bs as well, but I won't shout that one. Blue Aeroplanes for me, and they're mentioned quite a lot by me. They're my favourite B band, I reckon. And they're from B Bristol as well.
You're only having 1 point for that, mate. Don't be greedy. You ain't having two Bs.
All right.
Tell me more about the Blue Aeroplanes, because I don't know that much about them. They were one of those bands that when I pick up sort of older copies of the NME in the early 90s, you know, maybe from like the sort of tail end of the 80s and the turn of the 90s, Blue Aeroplanes were one of them bands that were always on the sort of cassettes and were always being sort of hyped about. And I've never really heard that much, you know, by them. So what am I missing out?
I don't think they ever got big. They've had an insane amount of members in their band. My favourite album theirs is B as well, Beat Songs. But I saw them in the late 80s at the Salisbury Arts Centre, and they were fantastic. And they had a sort of a bit of a dancey one. Was it called Breaking in My Heart, which was sort of, they turned into a bit of a dance one. They got a huge amount of guitarists. I saw them once, and there must have been about 8 or 9 guitarists on stage with them, all playing. And it's he's a bit like Marquis Smith sort of style. He's a poet more than anything else. But the album Beat Songs is incredible. They did a iffy version of The Boy in the Bubble by Paul Simon. But Beat Songs, it's his lyrics more than anything else. But they're just a big sort of, they do a few acoustic-y ones, but it's always he doesn't sing, he talks rather than. But they got me through like going to college every day when I was going to Bath every day from here, and that album. I think I bought it 3 times on vinyl, where I've worn it out. It's probably it was one of my most played albums ever, Beat Songs, and they're just they're great. And they had a dancer on stage called Wojek, I can't remember his surname, and before Bez did, Bez was doing it, and he was on stage with his top off dancing on the front of the stage.
Was that the bald guy? Was the bald guy a singer?
No, I don't think either of them are bald.
Oh. Well, I got that wrong. Okay, right. Fair enough.
But yeah, that's my main B.
Okay, good shout. Good shout. Well, I'm going to kick off with a double B, and I'm going to go for the Beach Boys, because I bloody love them. I think Pet Sounds, my favourite albums constantly just rotate between Pet Sounds, What's Going On, and Astral Weeks. But I rewatched the film with, what's his name? High Fidelity. What's his bloody name? It's not C. John Cusack. I rewatched the film about, you know, where he plays an older Brian. Have you guys seen that film? It's absolutely fantastic, and I think it's on the BBC iPlayer now. You can watch it over there. It's really good, and it's kind of sort of a game of 2 hours really, where they sort of show the early part and the influence of their dad Marty and what an arse he was, and how he, you know, ultimately sort of broke Brian. But I was really lucky. I don't know if you went to this, Steve, but. Big Steve, this is who lives in the same area as me, for listeners. But Brian Wilson, when he was doing the Pet Sounds tour, maybe sort of 5 years ago, 6 years ago, for some bizarre reason, came to Southend.
He did the Cliffs, didn't he?
He played Cliffs Pavilion in Southend, which is insane. And I was blessed to get a ticket. And I'd be hard-pushed to find a moment where such a large amount of people have been so quiet when everybody left the stage and Brian just sat at the piano and played God Only Knows. Definitely the biggest room I've ever been in, where I would say 80% of the people there were males over the age of 40, and I would say that at least 80% of their bottom lips were wobbling all over the place when them opening bars came. It was absolutely beautiful. I'd have
been a mess.
Oh, mate, I was an absolute mess. It was absolutely wonderful. And I think God Only Knows he's one of the greatest records ever made. And I think Pet Sounds is one of the greatest albums ever made. And I fucking love Brian Wilson. So, Brian and the Beach Boys – Three B's there for you. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Beach Boys. Right. So we've gone full circle. So let's change the format a little bit here. Then Brett, what have you got?
Can I just say, Stu? Of
course you can.
I don't like the Beach Boys.
How do I mute people on there?
I've never got them. It's really weird. It's one of those bands I've never got, but I love. Who's the brother? The other brother,
Dennis.
Dennis. I absolutely love Dennis Wilson. I adore his album. Play it quite a lot.
Yes,
but I just cannot. I've tried time and time again with the Beach Boys, and I just cannot. It just doesn't. I don't know why. It just doesn't click with me. My wife likes them.
I'll tell you what's really weird. Like I read recently that Noel Gallagher's the same. Like he just doesn't like the Beach Boys, and I just think I just don't get it. But then I don't like Led Zeppelin, and all of my mates go, "How can you not like Led Zeppelin?" But he's just
he don't like the Beach Boys because he couldn't rip them off.
Good thing. Too complicated. But yeah, do you know how I got into the Beach Boys? Obviously, I grew up hearing Surfing USA, and I get around and stuff like that, which is just in the very fabric of your, you know, of music. But someone lent me, wouldn't it be nice? No, hang on, wouldn't it be good? Brian's book, and they went, and at the time it went, you could go into HMV and buy like certain CDs for like, I don't know, £4 or £4.99, and I bought Pet Sounds, and I looked at it, and I only knew Sloop John B and Wouldn't It Be, so I was like, oh no, and I knew Hang On To Your Ego because Frank Black had released the cover of it. So I was like, right, okay. It is a great cover. And so I was like, okay, so I'm going to buy something. And I just put it on repeat while I was reading the book, and it kind of soundtracked the book perfectly because all of what he was singing about was retrospectively looking back at his life, and that book was kind of sort of telling that as I was listening to it, and it all just kind of clicked with me then. And do you know what? It's really weird when you talk about bands that you just don't get. And this is a B as well. And I apologize if I'm going to jump in on anyone's here. I won't be saying anything particularly favorable about him, but I went back and I put on Grace by Jeff Buckley a couple of weeks back because I don't get Jeff Buckley. No, it's not, I don't get it. It just doesn't work for me. I understand how beautiful his voice is. I understand there's some very complexy melodies in there and what a beautiful looking man he was, and how, you know, I liked Tim Buckley, but I thought I must be missing out on this. And I put it on again and I listened to Grace from start to finish. I really like Last Goodbye.
Love You Should Have Come Over.
That's all right.
See, I'm a massive fan, Stu.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm missing out, and I bought it. I bought it on a big fucking like box set CD thing. And I go back to it probably once a year and go, right, am I going to get Jeff Buckley now? And I put it on, and I just go, I guess a couple of songs in, I just go, oh, he just don't
work
for me.
Like, I saw him live
twice. Oh, wow.
And he was just, he was incredible. But I was a huge fan. I was a huge fan when Grace came out. But
yeah.
It's the same. I feel the same about the Beach Boys. I feel really pissed off. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I feel really left out and a bit jealous. I don't get it. And I like drugs.
Yeah, he liked drugs.
Yeah,
a lot.
So it should work.
The thing is, there's shitloads of music. You like lots of it. You're not going to like all of it. And even things that are top quality, and you can see what's good about them. You can see why people like it. It just doesn't hit you, regardless of who it is or what it is. And you're always going to have that. And the more things that you like, then the less you're going to listen to them because you're having to rotate more. So it's good to have stuff that you don't like that you're not going to listen to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it would be good podcast to do, bands that we really don't like that we should. It's like, because there's huge bands, isn't there? I'm sure that we all like, really don't like that everyone loves.
Yeah.
Like me and the Wonder stuff, Stu.
You don't like the Wonder stuff?
That is.
Fucking hate them.
Oh, God's sake.
all going to kick off in a minute.
Don't get really weird. Muse. Don't get me started on Muse. Right.
Oh, fucking hate Muse.
But I'll upset everyone when I say that I don't like Queens of Stone Age. You know that. And
I hate them as well. I hate him as well.
Yeah, he's not particularly nice, man.
I was going to you, Brett, wasn't I?
Yeah. I'm going to bring it back more juvenile again, I'm afraid. I'm imagining when I was about 12, 13, my mate Ian had an older brother called Sean who would record all this stuff off Max Headroom and The Tube and whatever, and we would sit down and watch it. And then Bluey Sum video came on with Imagination, and there was nudity. That was it. That was the greatest record of that 6 months in the world. I don't care. He's rubbish, but at that point in time, it was the best B ever.
What's Bluey Sum? Was that the guy's name or was it a band?
I think it was the guy's name. I mean, I don't remember much about it apart from the video.
Yeah.
And yeah, he had bleached blonde shaved hair. And we were like, wow. Yeah, we were impressionable, like 12, 13-year-olds. Somebody sprung to mind. You were like, beep. Yeah, that one. I remember that.
Wow. You know exactly what all of us are going to do the minute this conversation finishes. Some imagination.
I'm at work, mate. I can't.
That will be the most random thing to get pulled up in front of your boss for, won't it? Put your Bluey Sum's Imagination on YouTube. Explain that, please. Brett said there were boobs in it. Fantastic. Well, let's go back to you, Big Steve. What we got?
Well, first of all, I'm disappointed that the BB wasn't Brother Beyond.
Oh, mate, I think the harder I try, if re-recorded by an absolute wicked, like, 60s kind of Motown band, I think the harder I try will be one of the greatest Northern Soul records ever made. There you go.
But my actual choice is a band called Brothers of the Sonic Cloth, which is Tad Doyle from Tad and...
Oh, right.
You know, all those bands. It is kind of more sonically heavy band, shall we say. But they are, again, they're another amazing band. And I saw them. Have you been upstairs? You've been to the Black Heart in Camden, Stu?
I haven't.
Or anyone. Upstairs, they've got a tiny venue, probably maybe 100 people at a push can get in there. And I saw them in there, and it was literally when the first note he plucks on the guitar, you kind of just mashed into you. Like the person standing next to me, her hair all flicked up from the just sonic aggression that was coming out. But yeah, they're a great band.
How did you discover them? Just through like kind of going down a rabbit hole from Tad?
Well, I think they were more kind of, I was never massively into Tad and stuff like that. But, you know, my mates, we all obviously all into different stuff. And they were like, oh, check out this band called Brothers of the Sonic Cloth. I was like, who's in it? And he was like, oh, you know, it's Tad Doyle. And I was like, oh, I never really liked Tad. But obviously I gave it a listen and yeah, they were wicked. It was more kind of in keeping with the stuff that I was listening to at the time.
Yeah. Okay.
But yes, they're worth checking out if you like Tad stuff and you know, all the other bands that he's been in.
Yeah.
Millions of bands.
Yeah. No, I've not heard of them. Fantastic. Steve, what you got, mate?
Another sort of divisive band, Bikini Kill.
Oh, wonderful.
Very sort of a voice that at times is highly off-putting and very screechy, but when it works, it works. Half of their songs are not very good, but the ones that are really good are amazing. And the song that I'd probably pick would be Feels Blind from the first.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Album, whatever it was called, again, or the second album, whatever it was called.
Have you...
The whole Riot Girl thing was very bizarre, but had a lot of good sounds at times.
Have you watched the Kathleen Hanna...
Yeah, it's really good.
That's it. That's such a good watch. That, yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's pretty fucking cool. She is. And I've got to be honest. Personally, I remember the sort of furore about the sort of Riot Girl stuff when it happened. And it was only a few. It was only really them and. Obviously, Huggy Bear that kind of really sort of made it sort of onto my sort of record decks, and it was only really when you just got to understand just how good her voice was. Probably La Tigra, really. I think when I sort of when the first time I heard Decepticon, I was like, fuck,
yeah, totally different. And the Julie Dolphin song, Ha Ha,
yeah.
I love that. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's screechy and high pitched and just goes sort of through you at times. But I thought they were really good. And I mean, I went to see them. Can't remember if it was Huggy Bear and them or if it was somebody else, but I did feel quite uncomfortable with the fucking audience. It's quite sort of bizarre.
Did anyone get along to the recent La Tigra gigs? Like, because they played a couple of shows, didn't they? I think. Am I right?
Maybe right, but didn't go.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, it was Bikini Kill. It wasn't La Tigra. They came over and done some Bikini Kill shows. I'm sure of it. I'm either way off the money here, but I'm pretty damn sure that.
Well, I think you did because they did a load of represses of the old albums. I think.
Yeah. I'm pretty damn sure that happened. Yeah, oh, that's a great shout, Bikini Kill. Mr. Lovell.
Has everyone still got two the double Bs to go?
Well, Kathleen's married to one that I'm thinking of.
Oh, I was going to say Brother Beyond. Is that somebody just said Brother Beyond? I didn't mean Brother Beyond, I meant Black Box.
Of course.
Nobody's mentioned Black Box. They're a cracking band. Are we allowed to say the most important double B yet?
Yeah, go for it.
It's be the same as yours, Stu, isn't it?
I hope so.
I've got two I can Billy. Think of. Go for it.
Billy Bragg.
Oh, no. Fuck. Of course it is. Why would I even thought of that? Yeah. Oh, I've got two.
I've got a three B.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah. No one else will have heard of it, probably, but there's definitely three Bs in it.
Has it got the word burn in it?
Yes and no.
Beelzebub.
I mean, if you want to go down the list of bands that I know with either bong or some kind of pun on like smoking weed or anything, we'll be here all day. It's a whole different podcast.
Fantastic. So I took Billy Bragg, mate.
There's nothing else. There's nothing you can say about him, is there? If you like him, you know why. He's just fucking amazing.
Yeah,
he really is. And if you don't, yeah, I sort of get it if you don't. But as a writer of politics, fantastic. But when he sings a song that makes you want to cry, there's nothing. I mean, he's got to be up there. Workers' Playtime is, for me, that can do it for me.
Yeah,
easy. And like, one of your favourites, Stu, is on the album after, isn't it? What's it? When you're
Tank
in the dark at the top of the stairs.
Tank that's on Don't Try This At Home, yeah.
That's what you are. Yeah, there's a lot. But, I mean, Billy Bragg is just fantastic.
Yeah, I think Workers' Playtime, Valentine's Day is Over, like, that's a bit special. She's got.
Have you seen him do the what's the big American festival?
South by Southwest.
Yeah, have you seen him? He did a little gig in a bike shop, like in a mountain.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, it's so good.
What the bike just I think that's on YouTube.
I think it is actually. It was like almost like a tiny desk sort of one, but it's just him in a bike shop. He's got a load of bikes hanging up in the background, and it's just, he's just wonderful. And he's a nice bloke, isn't he, as well?
Yeah.
He seems like a really nice bloke. You really had his.
Right. That's, yeah. His son was lovely, Jack. I don't know if I've retold the story of trying to be called dad when Pip was chatting to Billy Bragg at Glastonbury one year when they were both playing, because Pip supported Billy Bragg. Oh no, Pip Billy come out and sung with Pip when Pip played Coco, and I think Pip's played with Billy Bragg a few times, but he said he was at Glastonbury once and they were just chatting in the field, and I think Jack at the time was about 17 or 18 and was just like, come over, and he was like, right, Dad, I'll see you in a bit. And he said, like, he watched Billy Bragg go, right, well, look, I'm going to be waiting here, so don't go too far, and, like, don't drink too much. And when you do, like, make sure you give me a call, and, like, so I know where you are. And he said he just watched him look absolutely embarrassed of his dad and just, like, oh, whatever. And, like, now you think, oh, even Billy Bragg's not, can't be a cool dad. It can't happen. You can't be a cool dad. If Billy Bragg can't, no one can. And that's fantastic. Your dad's probably like smashing it out of the park at Glastonbury on stage, but like, yeah, whatever, Dad. Like, I thought that's fantastic. Love it. Love it. Where are we at? Is it back to me? Right. Okay. I am going to throw in. What have I written down here? Well, I guess I'm going to say the Beastie Boys then, because, well, like, they're just, there's cool, aren't there? And then there's, like, Beastie Boys. And, like, it's just, like, every now and again, somebody put up that footage of Sabotage on Letterman. I think it's Letterman. And it's like, fucking hell. Like, it's beyond amazing, and the energy and just everything they've done, they just you know, obviously I'm of an age where License to Kill was the most exciting. That was my punk. That was like, you know, big inflatable cocks on stage and you know, at the time thinking, you know, songs like Girls and Brass Monkey were just really cool because they were just almost novelty comedy type songs with like really infectious little melodies with, you know, that sort of whiny little kind of rap over the top was like, this is amazing. And then it's also got big guitars. And I remember just, you know, and then the whole VW thing was so exciting. And I'm not going to lie, and say that, you know, I was first in the queue by Paul's Boutique. I wasn't, you know, I'd kind of moved on. And it was only really probably when I heard So What You Want, or maybe Something's Got to Give. He used to play Something's Got to Give on MTV like quite heavily. And I think around that time, a lot of my mates were smoking a lot of weed and someone bought Check Your Head. And I was like, wow, this is the Beastie Boys. This ain't what they used to do. I think some of like the lads that were skating and that would all be listening to that. And then I think after that, they dropped Get It Together with Q-Tip. And it was like, oh, what the fuck's this? This is so cool. And then obviously they dropped Sabotage. And then the world just remembers that they're the coolest motherfuckers on the planet. And it just got cooler and cooler and cooler. You know, you kick off that Sabotage video and then you follow that up with like Sure Shot and like, which is just such a ridiculously good song, and Root Down, and like all of these singles, you know, just kept coming and coming and coming. And then yeah, I think when MCA died, it was just like, it's really strange. It was like one of the only celebrity deaths that was like, fuck, because there ain't many bands in your life that I think will, from when you're 13, release the most coolest sort of record that's going to affect the way you dress, the way you, you know, the way you carry yourself, and everything about their style was everything I wanted to be, that's going to literally continue throughout your life. Every time from the age of 13 to literally watching their documentary when that dropped on Apple TV a few years ago, just, oh, for my whole life, these have always been at the top of the game, innovative, constantly evolving, constantly looking cool as fuck, you know. And yes, there's some questionable stuff on License to Ill in regards to the kind of where their heads were at with it, you know, and you know, being that kind of frat boy thing, but that's what got on the attention. But the way they evolved as people and the way that they carry themselves as artists, and certain MCA more than any of them, like, yeah, just fucking amazing, amazing. Brett, you got your hand up. What do you want to add to this, mate?
Everything you've just said, but looking back, I mean, I also will admit, when Paul's Boutique came out, I didn't get it. But you look back on it now, it's an absolute hip-hop masterclass.
Mm.
It's wonderful.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You look back and think, there's not a bad track on that. Is it a shame that it was missed? It's not. It's a hidden gem amongst their back catalogue.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
And I think when we go to hidden gems, if we go around again, I want to talk about a hidden gem by another B. And I think when artists do have that kind of that thing that people may have kind of overlooked at the time, it adds more value to it in retrospect, I think. Like, it makes it that kind of sort of, gives it that cult status. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Steve, what you got? Little Steve.
Well, during all the sort of conversations, various things pop in and you're reading and whatnot, and you start thinking about one thing and then another thing. You're like, oh, I should mention this and I should mention that. What was before? Boston. Another band that sort of evokes one song more than a feeling.
Yeah.
That's not the song I go for. It's the album Third Stage, starting off and finishing off with songs Amanda and Holly Ann, two sort of complete cheese fest rock ballads that I absolutely love. They are exactly what you'd expect it to be.
To Boston, I love that.
Exactly. You got to keep things interesting and change it up a bit.
Absolutely. Was that something that you heard growing up, Boston?
No, it was just, again, it was Runs at My Pals, and it was an album he had, and he slapped it on, and it was just, the album's about 35 minutes long, 10 tracks, and it just sort of flew past, but sort of sing-alongy, rock, ballady, cheesy nonsense. I love it.
Love it. You can't, who does, blah, 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 loving you. I'm going to keep on loving you if it's the
Chicago?
Only... It's not Chicago.
REO Speedwagon.
Fucking hell. Should have known by that look in your... That is just that big FM rock production, like, all over.
It's of that ilk, it's something that's not well known and not played a lot, so therefore you can listen to it and enjoy it because it's got the same sort of feeling as that, but it's not the thing you hear constantly.
Absolutely. And I hadn't listened to any of that, and it was when we had very early on, when I had Colin Murray on, would have been in like one of in the first year, Colin Murray picked the REO Speedwagon track, and he was like, when you finish, go and listen to it and crank it up. I reckon I listen to that record maybe once every 2 weeks, that single. It's on my, like, kind of dog walking playlist. And, like, I am clenching that air, and I am pulling that fist pump in, mate. It is an absolute, yeah.
Do you like yacht rock as a rule, though, Stu?
I would say that one of my favourite ever vocalists is Michael McDonald. Like, yeah. Because he's got that beard-based vocal. Like, anyone that sings through the beard and makes it sound like it's got that... like that
beard filter.
He's got a beard filter, yeah. And, like, that track is, you know... what's the Doobie Brothers track that he sings? What a Fool Believes. Like, that fucking hell. What a tune. Like,
yeah, I love a bit of music.
Kind of mid-70s to early 80s. Big, big American FM radio production, and it's fucking great.
I like Chicago as well. I love Chicago.
I wanted the jacket that Pizza Tira wore in the what's the big single? Ooh, baby, please don't go. That one.
Don't go, yeah.
The video he had, the jacket he had in that video was just kind of one of them sort of like American sort of frat boy bomber jackets. It was like this really cool shade of green, and he had the kind of long blonde hair. And I remember thinking, God, he looks so cool, but I really want that jacket as well. Weird how you remember these weird little things, isn't it? But them kind of jackets, I think they jumped me because as a kid, like, all the cool stuff was American, wasn't it, when you was like 10 in the 80s, and everyone had them kind of cool jackets. And I remember when REM released Monster, Mike Mills was playing on Top of the Pops, and he had this kind of like big colourful retro jacket on. And I remember thinking, because Mike Mills generally looked like the librarian in REM, you know, I adore that band and his vocal on Neil Old Evans, sublime. But as he's playing Crush With Eyeliner, they were on Top of the Pop same thing, Crush With Eyeliner. And as he turned round, this retro jacket just had the fucking old school 70s Casey and the Sunshine Band logo on. I remember thinking, fuck, I want that jacket too. That looks so cool. Mike Mills is rocking an old school Casey and the Sunshine Band jacket. But yeah, wicked. Right. From Boston to Chicago. Where are we at? Who's next up? Who did you say one, Si?
I don't know how many times we've been around. I don't know what we're on.
What have you done? You've done
Billy Bragg and Blue Aeroplanes.
Right.
I've got a big list, but I've got... Are you going to do something unheard of, did you say? Something a bit... Have you got one that's a bit of a gem? I got one by Alicia Blue. I don't know. I don't really know much about her, or I haven't listened to that much of her, but she does a cover of Jane Says by... by the Jane's Addiction. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a real little gem there, Alicia Blue. It's a really lovely. It's a lovely cover.
That's a record anyway.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah. No, that was. It's just a lovely, lovely cover. It's just not obviously as good, but it stays the same sort of. But the other one I was going to say was like Big Thief. I love Big Thief.
Yeah, good shout.
I can keep going. You can keep going, can't you? There's quite a few bees, really.
there is. have you seen the video of, I guess it probably would have been early 2000s when James got back together and Flea was playing bass for him. And there's this kind of live video of him in this, it's a surreal thing. Perry Farrell's got like these kind of plaits in his hair.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Navarra's back in the band then, and they play Jane Says, and like fucking hell, like the steel drums are just going, and it is, and you just remind yourself that Perry Farrell's got one of the most insane voices ever. It's so big. It's
You've seen him live, Stu?
Yeah, a few times. Yeah, yeah. I did see him do the
Call for Pyros.
What's that? I didn't ever see that.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't think they were a patch, but...
No.
James is an incredible band.
Yeah, I saw the reunion shows for where they played Ritual.
Did you go with Nick?
I did, yeah. Yeah. And, he's a... I mean, I love that band, but, you know, he's obsessed. He's one of his favourite bands. And I did hear a great story. I probably... mentioned it on the podcast over the years. But my mate Bobby was in a band called Does It Offend You? Yeah. And he was obsessed with James. And they got to play with him at Lollapalooza or Coachella, or one of these sort of big American festivals in the sort of early 2000s. And he said he was so excited to try and knock on their door to their dressing room door to just say hello. And he said, like, and he was chatting to Perry Farrell, and in the background over Perry's shoulder, he could see a makeup artist drawing on Dave Navarra's six-pack and accentuating it with makeup, which I thought was fucking fantastic. A little bit sad, but we should
do that for the live ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get our six-packs out.
Yeah. Gonna need it. Big fat
calendar.
Mine's more of a keg than a six pack.
Mine's more like Lurpak.
Fantastic. Big Steve, what you got, mate?
I've got a massive list here, mate.
Go on,
I'll probably go for a band called Bosk. And the song probably that I would choose is one called Atom Smasher. Again, an incredible live band. Just brutal sonics. Kind of sparse vocals, but when they do kick in, they're obviously really harsh and shouty and screamy. But yeah, again, this is an amazing band. And Daniel P. Carter has done artwork for some of their releases.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
At least one, to my knowledge.
Yeah. Okay.
Brett, well, it's already arson, actually. Not that long ago. Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to rattle off a few more before we move on, Steve, if you've got a list?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got the Beths who you interviewed on one of your, one of these. Between the Buried and Me, Bong, Bongzilla, Breeders, Brent Bjork and the Bros, Blue Tones. Oh, it'll just go on and on and on, mate.
Fantastic. Brett?
I've got another double B.
Go on.
Unfortunately, it's in my wife's handwriting. It's the Backstreet Boys. That's all I'm going to say. We'll move straight on. again, rattling off, there's some four blokes from Liverpool. What are they called? The Beatles, that's the ones.
Yeah, they're going to be big.
They were quite big at one point, apparently.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you which one was my favourite, but yeah, I mean, everybody loves them. If you want to rattle some more off, not a problem.
Let's do it.
Bob Marley.
Yes.
Obviously. Blondie.
Oh.
I thought Bob Marley came under M last month.
Oh, yeah, that's under M. Yeah, good point.
All right, then. Forget that. We'll do that in the edit. Yeah, Blondie. Blur.
Yep.
There's, again, my wife's handwriting, Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen, Boo Radley's, Bananarama. I mean, who doesn't love Bananarama?
Oh, mate, anyone that don't like Robert De Niro's Waiting, have a word with yourself, because that's a pop gem, that is. As is Cruel Summer.
Yep, absolutely. They would just look so miserable as they're there, don't they?
That's so cool, though, isn't it? That, like, you know, a three-piece girl band, like a pop band, they did just look so miserable, and it was fucking fantastic. And then they duet with Fun Boy Free. So you've not just got three miserable girls, you've got Terry All in the mix as well. It's about as miserable as it gets, but it's joyous pop. It's fantastic.
Wasn't one of them having an affair with Terry Hall at the time, and that's how it all came about?
I think...
I can't tell you details, but I'm pretty sure that's the story.
Yeah, I think Terry Hall... No, Terry Hall was having... I don't know if it was an affair, but he was seeing, if I'm right, Belinda Carlisle. Because that's how they wrote...
Sucking in the Sand.
No.
Our Lips Are Sealed.
Our Lips Are Sealed, yeah.
Because it was a love letter from Terry to her. And I mean, Terry was the coolest man on earth, and Belinda Carlisle was arguably the most beautiful woman to walk the planet at that point. So,
Did you mention Big Country as well then, Brett?
I didn't, but I can do.
Oh. Can you? Yeah. No, just I thought
you'd
Big Country.
Yeah,
into my head.
So I've got to ask then, as a Scot, Steve, was Restless Natives on your kind of VHS collection growing up?
Yeah, well, I did have it. Yes, I did think it was a great film, good soundtrack. Big Country did a few good things.
Yeah,
they were never anything that. It was massively into, you know, it was so, never really that important. At that time, Big Country time was still madness, you know. They were still the biggest thing, even although they were not quite as good in the last album, although I listened to it recently.
Yeah, and that's just made me realise, I've got my facts wrong now. Belinda Carlisle was having an affair with Suggs. At this point, because
really?
when the Go-Go's first came to the UK on their first tour, it was playing with Madness and maybe the Specials as well, but she was seeing Suggs, and it was Jane Wilding that was with Terry, and because Jane was the principal songwriter in the Go-Go's as well, so that was the, yeah, I got my head around my ass a bit there, so yeah,
because Madness did a string of dates at the EBGBs, wasn't it, or whatever it's called, with the Go-Go's when they first did America. That's probably where the link is.
Yeah.
The Go-Go's toured with them. in Britain, and that's where it's sort of first grade. And then I think we got them across there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Was that? I thought sort of that way around.
Mm. Yeah, there's a really good documentary about the Go-Go's on Sky Arts, and I guess maybe in the UK they weren't quite as big as what they were in the States. And it's in regards to the kind of what they achieved is, I think they were the first girl band that wrote and played their own stuff to have like number one album and stuff like that. It's like, it's pretty mad how big they were. And yeah, I actually read Belinda Carlisle's book as well, which she doesn't come across very nice in. You like, cocaine had a big part in a lot of her life, and yeah, and I mean, in regards to writing pop records, Jane Wilding, I mean, Rush Hour was one of the greatest pop records ever made. It's an absolute stone cold gem, that is. Covered by Joyrider in the early to mid 90s, new indie cover there. But yeah, what have I got for any more? Oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to throw in for B. I'm going to throw in the Buggles, purely for video called The Radio Star, because I think it's fantastic, and I've been listening to a lot of it. I was chatting to Cunt from Company again the other day, and he's just finished Trevor Horn's book, and that's going to be my next read. And we was just kind of talking about a lot of his work, but yeah, Buggles is an absolute banger. And I had notes. I'm going to shout out The Beloved, first album by The Beloved, Happiness, with Hello and Sunrising and Time After Time. I absolutely love that record. Band of Horses, still one of the nicest guys I've ever had on the podcast. And yeah, and I'm going to I'm got to say the Bee Gees, because the Bee Gees are pretty fucking special. And it was interesting. We'd done a hardcore listing a little while ago. We guested on the Proper Mental podcast, when we was talking about songs that you sort of lean on when you're feeling rubbish. And obviously we've done an episode like that. And I mentioned I started a joke by the Bee Gees, and it was about a week later that Pip messaged me and was like, I knew you'd pick the most miserable song you could possibly pick. And he was like, what was interesting with the two guys that you mentioned that had absolutely no fucking idea what that song was. And I think I'd even sort of said, yeah, Faith No More covered it, remember? And they're both like, yeah. And I thought, no, you don't, do you? But yeah, I think Robin Gibbs singing I Started a Joke by the Bee Gees is pretty fucking powerful.
I've never heard it.
Are you serious?
No, seriously, I've never heard it.
Oh.
Until you mentioned it the other day on Hardcore Listening, I'd never, ever heard of it.
Oh, my God.
What's it called?
I Started a Joke.
Oh, I've listened to it after this.
Oh, mate. Strap in, mate. It's a heartbreak. And then also go and watch the Faith No More video, because there's a very, very young Martin Freeman in it as well. But yes, they don't do a lot to it. They basically do what they've done with Easy by the Commodores, just put Mike Patton's fucking incredible voice over the top of it. But yeah, I'll go Bee Gees because, A, they've got some of the greatest disco records ever made, and they've got the most beautiful songs like I Started a Joke and Massachusetts and Got to Get a Message to You, and the list goes on. I see a little clip of them the other day, the three of them just sitting over acoustics, playing the song they wrote for Barbra Streisand, Guilty, and it's just Barry just sitting there playing it and singing it. He's like, fucking hell. And then you start thinking like Chain Reaction, which was one of them songs when it came out in the late 80s, I was like, oh, this is shit. Like, this is cheesy. And I listen to Chain Reaction now and I think that's just a masterpiece. Yeah, all about the Bee Gees. Anyone else want to throw some bees in?
Matt Berry.
Oh, great. Oh, is that on Acid Jazz?
Yeah. I got a bit, they pissed me off at the moment. I'm waiting for an order from them for weeks. So I slag them off on the podcast now. That's my record. No, I love Matt Berry. Absolutely adore him. I like his acting, but musically, I think he's incredible. He's just phenomenal artist and talent. You fans?
I am.
Music.
I think Steve mentioned the Blue Tones earlier. I think Mark Morris plays in his band, I think, Matt Berry, or works closely with him, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, right.
Yeah, there's definitely there's definitely some kind of connection there. I'm trying to think exactly what it is, but yeah.
Did you listen to his, have you heard his album, the theme tunes he does, from TV theme tunes from the 70s?
No.
Fantastic. He's even got Blankety Blank on there. He does World in Action, which scared me. Still scares me. I used to have to go swimming when that was on, and it scared me because I didn't want to go. Always, whenever I hear it, I feel a little bit like I'm like, what, go and hide under my covers in my bed.
Was World in Action where it had the kind of the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was quite terrifying. Yeah.
I didn't like it. He does Rainbow on there. Blankety Blank's a cracker.
Oh, I've got to get this.
All right, great double B.
He's got a double B.
Blankety Blank.
Blankety Blank.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely worth it. Have you not heard it, Brett?
No, but I'm definitely going to seek that out. That's tomorrow.
It's fantastic. It genuinely is fantastic. He's a pure talent.
For that.
And he collects synths, doesn't he? He's got like ridiculous. First. He's got an.
Was it just called TV themes?
I think so. It might be, yeah. It's on Acid Jazz. I've got it here somewhere.
That's cool. I'll chuck a couple more in.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
There's a list. Some are good, some are bad. It was done over lunch, over tea. Beyonce, obviously.
Yes.
Everyone's favourite, Bewitched.
she was so nice when he was on the podcast.
Biggie Smalls. I mean, he was influential. I was in the States when he got shot, and that was all over. The first time I ever went to the States, all over the news. And Ready to Die had just come out. That was an interesting experience. Big Daddy Kane, if you like your 80s hip hop. Boy George.
Yeah.
Billy Idol. Everyone loves a bit of
that. That's an eye.
Is it? All right. Okay.
Lazy cunt.
Lazy cunt. The Bangles.
Oh, great shout. Great shout. Do you know what?
Everybody goes like that at some point, don't they, in their life at a disco?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? I'm going to move on before I start salivating and sounding like a dirty old man.
Dan Hoffs. Yes.
You're among friends. We are.
Oh, wonderful. Look, it's been a lovely chat this evening, fellas, and we've managed to get through an hour of talking about bands that start with B and not mention Bon Jovi. So well done, everyone. And I'm
or Biffy Clyro.
Or Biffy Clyro, yes. I'm going to press stop now, but don't go anywhere, fellas.